Our halftime show is brought to you by the Horn Law Group. If you're going to court, then call them first for a free consultation. Located in downtown Toms River, check out their legal services at hornlawgroup.net.
And we welcome you back here from Munley Field on the campus of Jackson Memorial High School, where the Jaguars lead 28-0 over Toms River North. This is a bit of an elimination game, as we talked about last night. Both teams coming in with a loss in the division. Brick pacing the way right now at 4-0. We'll talk about the Green Dragons, who right now trail 14-0 the Wall at the break. But before we take you around the shore with some scores, let's go down to the field for a nice interview with our own Bob Batters, and it's Arluca. Coach?
Yes, from the Shore Sports Network, Bobby Batters here covering this game for our Shore Sports Network. Bobby, kind of surprised at this one. Not maybe that Jackson's winning, but 28-0 at halftime. The Mariners have done little.
A little bit surprising. I figured this would be a pretty competitive game after seeing how Toms River North has gotten better every week, especially Mike Husney getting better every week as a sophomore, but Jackson has really come out and taken it to the Mariners. Early on, the Mariners looked a little listless. They came back, had a nice drive, but the fumble kind of, you know, really took the wind out of their sails. But obviously, the story has been the addition of Matt Castronova so far. Takes his first touch, 71 yards for a touchdown and a jet sweep. Catches a late touchdown pass there from Joe DeMeo. He's got 169 total yards and two touchdowns in his debut. So I think instant impact is pretty fair to say.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Walt, the head man for Jackson, Chris Topic, and he said that this is what he's been doing in practice against the first team, defense for the Jaguars. He's been playing hard, chomping at the bit. Finally, he gets a chance to play for real, and he certainly has been no disappointment. But, the Mariners, it's unbelievable. If you told me that we're one score away early in this second half to getting into the mercy rule, I'd be shocked. I would have bet the mortgage on that one.
Yeah, I really did not expect it to be this much of a lead for Jackson at the half. But, you know, obviously they've gotten a big lift from Castronova returning. And they're just, after seeing them now for, you know, for a game and a half, going back to last week at the game break, it's a very solid football team. And they've come out and just done what they do with that big line. And now all of a sudden, an array of playmakers they have. You know, Vinny Lee didn't get his first carry till about 30 seconds left in the first quarter. He had 165 yards and two touchdowns versus Brick last week. So obviously they have a lot to offer, and you know, so far they've proven that they're a force to be reckoned with.
As the homecoming king and queen drive by us right behind the bench we're sitting at right here, I guess they got the crowns on, so I guess they've been determined already.
It looks like it. It certainly looks like it.
But anyway, the big story of the night could be up at Brick, where Wall holds a 14-0 score over the number 2 Green Dragons and currently undefeated at 4-0. Brick can't lose that game, can they?
Speechless, both of us on the sidelines getting these updates. That would be the shocker of all time. Wall plays very hard under first-year head coach Dan Curcione, but they don't have the weapons to match up Brick. We've seen what Brick can do last week, and to have them be down 14-0 at the half, you wonder if Brick just played the worst. And this is to not take anything away from Wall. Obviously, a great half of football, but Brick is obviously the better team there. And you just wonder, that first half, did just nothing go right for the Dragons? You know, how do they respond coming out of the half? I feel like you're going to see a pretty motivated Dragons team. They know it's at stake, that group collectively. I don't think that's a team that's going to look past any opponent, even if it's for, you know, a half. I think maybe just some things went wrong. So we'll see.
Number one, RBC, off big already in the first half. RBC's got some huge games coming up, you know, against Manalapan and teams like that, Middletown South and Freehold, right? They've got to play all three of them down the stretch. So is this the year maybe that RBC ends that long Shore Conference winning streak?
It's possible, because having seen Manalapan play at the level they are, and obviously, you know, Jackson as well, you know, these are teams that match up better with Red Bank Catholic than teams have in the past, because if you can match their physicality, you know, obviously you stand a much greater chance. Just in years past, any team from the Shore that has played them just couldn't stand up to their line for an entire game, and they would just beat you down. Not to take anything away from their line, it's still great, but I think it's the teams that they're going to play. You know, Jackson later, but Manalapan really the big one. Eddie Gregory told me earlier that may be the best offensive line they've ever had there. And Eddie Gregory's not the kind of coach to just throw things like that around. So going to be some huge tests for the KCs, and I think that's good for them. They want to play the best teams around here and obviously play the best teams around the state. They have a goal of getting to a sectional final. So I think those are going to be some very big games. And obviously, like I said, fans have been looking forward to those games for RBC for a while.
There's some huge games down the line this second half of the season, as we wind down, playoff. We'll start talking playoffs. I'm going to write a little bit about it this week in my blog on Monday. But, a possible matchup with undefeated teams like RBC and St. John Vianney is possible. They both play in the central, non-public Group 3 tournament. I mean, that would be a huge game.
To me, that, and me and Scott Stump have spoke about this before, that is the most intriguing storyline of the entire season to me. With St. John Vianney getting off to the tremendous start under Mark Ciccatelli, and you can see there something is building there, and you're right, they're in the same bracket as Red Bank Catholic. And if those two meet up undefeated, if somehow St. John Vianney could beat them, I mean, what does that do to the landscape of the shore? That could change a lot of things. So I hope that happens down the line, just because that would be a huge game, be the biggest game St. John Vianney's had in 20 years, and it'd probably be the biggest game Red Bank Catholic has had in a long time. Let's say those two somehow meet in the semifinals. You look at that non-public Group 3 bracket, St. Joe's Montvale, an excellent team, ranked one spot ahead of Red Bank Catholic, not the juggernaut they have been. Del Barton, which has always been a great team in there, not even a top 20 team in the state. Same thing, Pope John, very good quarterback, but not a top team in the state like Red Bank Catholic is. So could you imagine those two teams meeting with a shot somehow to get to a sectional final? I think that'd be the game of maybe the last couple years in the shore.
I agree. I totally agree. I'd love to see that one. Is it about time that maybe we put Mark Ciccatelli in the legendary status? I mean, he's got three state championships, two at Freehold, one at Neptune. I mean, and now he's completely in 1 year. I know he's got some transfers. I'm not going to, you can't go without saying that he did get some transfers from other schools. But, hey, it's a Catholic school. A kid could go wherever he wants in a non-public situation. But, I mean, the guy's a good football coach.
Ciccatelli is a great football coach. I mean, you have to have players to win regardless of where you are. And obviously, like you said, with the transfers, that's the way it is now. And
everybody has them.
If you're a parochial school, non-public school, and you don't have kids coming in, you're not going to be a successful program. But Ciccatelli, two state titles at Freehold, went toe-to-toe at Middletown South teams to win titles there. Same thing, goes to Neptune, wins a title. And now at St. John Vianney, they're off to their best start, since the 90s, the 80s. So you see what he can do. And it's not just him, his whole staff. Those guys, most of them have been together since they were at Freehold, and they do a tremendous job. They get in there, they get the best out of those kids, and you've seen it so far. A lot of weapons. And if you look at that Vianney team, too, a lot of underclassmen also. You're going to have a lot of kids back next year. So this isn't just a one-year great senior class. So exciting to see what they're building up there at home, though.
Is Brown an underclassman?
Brown is a junior.
Wow. Their quarterback, outstanding quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks in the shore.
And you see what Mark Ciccatelli's done with great quarterbacks in the past. You go back to Freehold, Nick Tyson, nice. And then even Sterry Codrington was developed into a very good dual-threat player. Over at Neptune, he had back-to-back offensive players of the year in Ajay Patterson and Jaheim Woods, and now you have a similar player in Anthony Brown who, through his first four games, you see what he brings to the table. A real, to me, behind Carmen Scafani, the most true dual-threat quarterback in the shore. He can beat you with his feet, and he can throw it for 250 yards a game. There's not too many guys out there like that, and he's one of them.
Thursday night on our Investors Bank Thursday show, we had Dave Ellis, very impressive job he's done at Freehold in his third year. No, I guess it's his fourth year, right? His fourth year, but struggled in his first three, completely turned it around. He's 4-0 with three winless teams coming up next. Very easily could be 7-0. He didn't want to hear that, but, we look at it in the media and see who they're playing. They could be 7-0, and hey, it's the first eight games that count, and then you get to drop one, so they're going to be 7-0 going into those playoffs.
They're looking at a very good spot. They have the way the schedule broke for them, and certainly Freehold has benefited from moving to A North from B North, which is a slugfest of division. And they've gone out and done what they've supposed to so far. Josh Dixon has been great at running back. Jay Curry has really taken a step forward as a junior now at quarterback. They've got some other weapons, Jaceem Fenn, on the perimeter. The freshman, Ashante Worthy, very good too. And you're right, you see what they have coming up. They should be 7-0, and before they have to play Manalpin and Middletown South. So the question is, the power points, where's it going to put them? But right now you're looking at Free Will getting back to the playoffs, and you're right. You said Dave Ellis' fourth year, 3-7 their first year, 2-8, 2-8. So 4 wins this year, a huge step for their program to take. And, again, we talked about Ciccatelli. Dave Ellis coached under him. Another guy, Rodney Taylor, coached under him, current Neptune coach. So these guys having success. And, yeah, a little bit of a change there. Freehold in the top 10 after some years out.
You know, I mentioned this week, or Thursday night, that Middletown South, a team that is always on the top. Last year, 5-5, okay? It seems like this year people have forgotten about them. You know, they lose a fairly close game to one of the top teams in the state, the top public school in the state in South Brunswick, play them tough, but then have reeled off victories since. Under the radar a little bit. Not too many people talking about them, and they also play in that Central Jersey Group 4 with Brick and Freehold. That is a loaded bracket.
And Jackson Memorial right here.
And Jackson.
Right now, you're thinking maybe it's a Jackson Memorial Middletown South semifinal game, which everyone would sign up to see, but you're right. The Eagles not being talked about as much. You're right. They've blown out some teams that they should, and they have that one loss to South Brunswick, which you said is arguably the top public school team in the state. You know, they're going to get their chance against Manalapan, which is going to be the huge game in that division. And Manalapan, as we mentioned, they've won 27 straight against the Shore, so that's going to be a huge game to see where Middletown South stands. But again, they're going to be a factor. We're not talking about them a lot right now, but I have a feeling we will be when all is said and done.
You know, one more thing I want to mention and get your opinion on Manalapan. Averaging over 50 points a game in their first 4.
I hope they have the proper amount of replacement bulbs in the shed over there, because that thing is going to start sparking any week now. Yeah, I mean, coming off, after that Sayreville game, and we were both there, I remember walking off that field, you couldn't believe they put up 64 on a good team, 64 points, and they come right back. Shot 56 on Middletown North. The one question, if you want to look at Manalapan, is their defense. Consistently, how are they going to stand up against a good team? But they're all on fire. That offensive line has been paving the way. I mean, Marvin Mayfield is just getting it, and he's just running for about 250 yards every game.
Well, Bob, always good to talk to you. You doing anything tomorrow? Where are you going?
I'll be down. See Manalapan over at Lacey. Lacey, 9 straight losses, which is one of the more shocking stats. Manalapan kind of seeing if they can keep it going. So we'll see what goes on. A ton of games tonight. So only a couple, big ones tomorrow. You have the big Central Point Borough win, which I know Scott will be at in B South. So I'll head down and check out the Braves.
Well, when you're not doing anything on a Saturday and Monmouth University is home, you got to check out the Hawks over there.
Ew, Columbia this weekend, right? Hey, a win. Hawks are going to be ranked.
5-1 if they could get the W over Columbia. Thanks a lot, Bob, for joining me. And Kevin, take it away upstairs.
All right, Ed, thank you very much to Bob Batters from ShoreSportsNetwork.com for joining Ed at halftime. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit about this one, check some of the scores around the Shore Conference. You're listening to the Jersey Mikes Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network. And our halftime conversation brought to you by the Horn Law Group. If you're going to court, then call them first for a free consultation. Located in downtown Toms River, check out their legal services at hornlawgroup.net. Matt, Ed, every week we use the line or we hear the line, that's why they play the game. Well, for about a half of football, that's what you could say what's taking place in Brick, because the Green Dragons, the number two, consensus number two team with the Shore, are trailing winless Wall 14-0. A lot of football left, but that is one that would send, shockwaves around the Shore Conference.
It sure would, and it would probably turn a lot of people upside down when you think about what Brick did last week and what Wall has done up until this point. I mean, you've got 4-0 against 0-4. Credit Dan Curcione and the Crimson Knights, able to stick together and look for what would certainly be a shocking win.
Now, remember, Dan Curcione coached with Chip Labarca at Toms River North. Chip Labarca, the offensive coordinator, now at Brick. Curcione at Wall. You know what? Some familiarity, maybe that's been a factor. But again, a lot of football left. The Green Dragons are a very dangerous team, and as is this Jackson Memorial Jaguar squad, Matt, which really tonight for the first 24 minutes has played about as perfect a football game as you can. don't believe they punted, right? They scored on all four of their possessions.
That is correct. Right. 28-0 the score in this one. Two touchdowns in the first quarter, two more in the second. They started it off on their very first possession with a 71-yard touchdown run from Matt Castronova to go up 7-0. That with 9:27 to go in quarter number one. About 7 minutes later, Joe DiMeo hitting Brody Graham for a three-yard touchdown pass down near the goal line at the 2:38 mark. Second quarter scores DiMeo this time on the ground, untouched from 2 yards out with 8:21 remaining. And then with just 31 seconds to go, DiMeo striking to the air again, finding Castronova, who for the second time tonight finding the end zone. That is where we stand right now, 28-0. Ed, it's been Jackson from the beginning of this one. You've obviously been around the game for a long time, been on both sides of these every once in a while. What's going on in both locker rooms?
Well, I'm just not sure that North could come back from this one, Matt. They have shown me nothing on defense that they can stop Jackson on that jet sweep or DiMeo inside, or when he wants to throw the ball over top, he's had guys wide open. He's put the ball on the money. North has just shown me nothing that says that they could get back into this game. Remember, Jackson gets the ball back, and one more score puts this game into the mercy situation, and you know how fast the game goes when we get into the mercy rule. You just don't have time to come back from that mercy rule situation. Mercy rule 35-0 occurs when a team is up in the second half by 35. So on the other side, they'll do more of the same. That jet sweep, they have been unable to stop jet sweep. And when DiMeo reads the jet sweep with outside backers widening a little bit like they had to do, he keeps it and runs inside the tackle for big yardage. So, you know, without the use of Vinny Lee, who's only carried the ball a few times tonight, as I said, two carries for 4 yards for Vinny Lee. You know, he's either nursing some injuries because he hasn't really played a whole lot, or, you know, something happened during the week. You know, those things we're not privileged to know, but definitely has not been a part of the offense. And like Bob Batter said at halftime, guys, I don't know if you heard him, but last week he ran for 2 touchdowns and 165 yards against a better defense in Bricktown.
Haven't needed him so far here
tonight.
With Castronova making his way into the lineup. And Kevin, you and I talking off air just a little bit, and it's hard to say this, but in his first game tonight, obviously missed last week's game, Matt Castronova did against Brick. And from what we've seen tonight, that in a tight back-and-forth game, not to take anything away from Brick and the win that they had, but he is obviously could be a very big difference maker for Jackson and now the second half of their season.
There's no question. You know, I remember him, you know, at Liberty the last couple of years. He played a little quarterback back there, and you know, Ed had made the point earlier, and I agree. He looks quicker than he did. Maybe it's the uniform. Maybe it's the field. I don't know. But he has made an immediate impact tonight. And, you know, only because we love to do those things, you just wonder, had he been able to play last week against Brick in a game that went into overtime, could he have been the difference? The answer to me is yes. But he has added a new dimension with that jet sweep, which has been virtually unstoppable. Has done a nice job on defense, just another cog in the machine. And this Jackson football squad really could be poised to do some big things. They're in the grinder of the schedule now. After tonight, it's on the road against Brick Memorial and then Toms River South, back-to-back games. But truthfully, the way they're playing tonight, they could play with just about anyone in the state on this kind of level.
Kevin and Matt, I got some detailed report from a scout at the Brick game. So if we got a few minutes here, neither team on the field. Wall running the ball down the throats of the Green Dragon with power leads, isolations, and quarterback keepers with Cluley at the quarterback for Wall. Brick has had the ball very little. Wall controlling the entire game. Brick unofficially only 2 or 3 first downs in the first half. Sclafani doing nothing. Brick playing very lethargically, maybe a little bit experiencing post-winning syndrome, the scout said. That's a pretty detailed report on what's happening in that first half. But you know what? Bobby Batters and I said, hey, that's why they have halftime.
That's why coaches get in the faces of players sometimes at halftime. I'm sure there'll be some yelling and screaming going on in that locker room now. Brick cannot afford to lose to a winless Wall team and expect to keep their ranking in the top five in the Shore. They just cannot do it, and they're only a couple of touchdowns away from tying that one, remember.
Yep. You know, we mentioned Barnegat leading Manasquan 17-7 in that non-divisional game. Bengals quarterback St. John Erskine, quite a first half. 6 for 6, 163 yards, and a touchdown.
Not pretty bad. Solid.
Manny Bowen has led the defense with 6 tackles for Barnegat, who's looking to, I believe, make it 4 straight wins. They have what is potentially a huge Class B South contest next Friday night against the only undefeated team in the division right now, and that is Point Borough, a team which won just a game last year. However, Point Borough still has to get past Central tomorrow, and the Golden Eagles are a very, very dangerous team with sophomore running back Mike Bickford, who's put up big numbers the last few weeks.
2:30 kickoff tomorrow at Point Borough. Okay. A lot of late kickoffs tomorrow. SAT day.
SATs,
on Saturday morning. Both teams have made their way onto the field. Here we'll step out, take one more 60-second timeout. We'll come back for the second half kickoff right after this. It's Jackson 28, Tom Zimmer North nothing. You're listening to the Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network.